Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host. It's the host He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
I want to thank Aaron for segueing into my sermon on complaints. He hit it right on the head. I'm talking not necessarily about complaints that you have against people who are in a church and disrupting the church. We know that we're told that we are to confront those who are doing that, to go to them, and if they still don't heed our request, then we bring them before the whole church. But I'm talking about complaints we make about, you know, what's going on? Why is the baby always sick? Why did it have to rain today? Why do I need a new alternator on the car? Complaints in that vein. And you know, a monk joined a monastery and took a vow of silence. And after 10 years, his superior came to him and said, "Do you have anything you want to say?" And the monk said, "The food is bad." So another 10 years went by, and the opportunity came up again for him to speak, and the Father Superior asked him, said, "You know, do you have anything to say?" He said, "The bed is hard." So another 10 years go by, and his superior comes in and says, "Do you have anything to say?" And he said, "I quit." And the superior said, "That doesn't surprise me, because all you've done since you've been here is complain and complain." So he was tired of hearing his three complaints over 30 years. And if only we complained every 10 years, I'm sure everyone would think that we were saints indeed. But that's not the norm for most of us. Connie served peas two nights in a row last week, and I complained the second night because I don't like peas anyway. And she polished up her halo and said, "You ought to be thankful that we have peas to eat." So she certainly taught me a lesson there. But that's right. We tend to be more negative than positive about life. And sometimes we are irritated, or at least I am, maybe you're not, but sometimes you become irritated at people that are so positive about life. You know, you try to be yourself, and then you meet somebody who really is, and you think, well, who are they trying to impress? You know, blah, 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 blah. But we see maybe the bad instead of looking at life from a positive attitude. And if God were as negative as we are, think where we would be today. No one offers anything better to mankind than God's gift of salvation, His love, His grace, and His mercy, and so forth. And this being true, if we are true believers, if we are true Christians, then we should be positive about this life and not negative. Because this is the cliche that you hear all the time, but we're just passing through. We have a better life for us for eternity once we leave this planet. So we should be positive about life and not negative. But being children of God, hopefully we do have hope for better days and a hope for a future in eternity with God in His home in heaven. And we can trust all the promises God makes about this. You know, Paul wrote to the young church at Rome in chapter 8 of the Roman Gospel, and he said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us all. how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I don't believe we can be any more positive than the attitude that Paul sets forth in these verses in that book of Romans. God truly is on our side. And he truly does look out for us. He truly does care for us. He truly does have a will for our life that's in our best interest. We have become so smart that we know more than God because we don't think this life he has for us is the life we should have. It should be better. We shouldn't have to deal with the frozen pipes. We shouldn't have to deal with the car not starting on our way to an important meeting or an important gathering. But no, we are smarter than God, and we know that we shouldn't have to deal with these things. But God has a plan for us, and just like Aaron said, you know, they had overlooked all the blessings they had and focused on the negative things in their life. And we've got to learn, as they did, to look to the positive things and to pray for God to give us guidance and show us what we need to do to overcome those hurdles, those speed bumps in our journey through life. So what should we do when we have a complaint? To whom can we turn who can help and will listen to us? Well, in our text today, the psalmist tells us the answers. And our text is Psalm 142, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to read our text as we proceed through the message. And I invite you to follow along as I do read and pray that God will add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Well, in today's text, as we'll hear in a minute, the psalmist says when we have a complaint, first we should pour out our complaints to the Lord. If you'll follow along in your Bible as I read Psalm 142, verses 1 through 4, you will see what I mean. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I'm sure if we thought that God would punish us for complaining, we might never complain. But fortunately for us, God is a good listener and is willing to listen to our complaints in life. He is full of compassion for hurting people, and perhaps he even has some passion for complaining people. I know he does. So yes, there is someone who cares. We can come to God with our hurts, our pain, and even our complaints, and he will listen to them and handle them. Second, the psalmist tells us that when we have a complaint, we should confess the Lord as our refuge. Look at verse 5. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. I cry to you, O Lord, you are my refuge. This is a form of confession, and it's not a confession of something bad that you have done, some sin that you've committed. It's a confession of something good in our life. It's a confession that we belong to God, and we believe that he can and will take care of us. And the question this morning is, have you confessed your faith in God lately? Or have you complained about every little thing? Have you looked for the negative things in your life about which to complain. As Dwight L. Moody, the famous pastor, was walking down a Chicago street one evening, he saw a man leaning against a lamppost, and he went over and gently put his hand on his shoulder and asked him if he were a Christian. And the man raised his fist and angrily exclaimed, "Mind your own business." And Pastor Moody says, "I'm sorry if I have offended you, but to be very frank, it is my business." And friends, it's our business today to confess Jesus anytime we have the opportunity, no matter where it is, in the workplace, in a social gathering, maybe even in a gathering where the people are not Christians and have maybe some hostility towards those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we need to speak up. Remember what Jesus told us as recorded by Matthew: "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever disavows me before men, I will disavow him before my Father in heaven." We've got to confess that Lord is our refuge, that he is our Savior when we have a complaint. Confession of Jesus is part of the salvation process. If we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Savior of the world, then we must publicly confess him anywhere and anytime. Baptism is only one step of the process. Most of us are only baptized once. But once we have the gift of salvation, once we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then we must confess and repent on a continual basis, on a daily basis. Ask for God's forgiveness and confess that we are sinners and acknowledge him as our Lord. And this confession of faith in Jesus can have a dramatic effect on those of us around us, but believe me, it won't have any effect if you don't confess Jesus as Lord. You know, that's like people who don't vote and then want to complain about the outcome of the election. If we are Christians, then we have an obligation, a responsibility to confess Jesus to those of us around us, confess our faith in him as Lord and Savior, and see what a positive impact that can have on other people. Third, the psalmist says that when we have a complaint, we must ask for the Lord's help in our time of need. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 142. "Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me." Complain, but also ask for the Lord's help, and you will get an answer. It may not be the answer that you want. We've heard that before. We'll get answers to our prayers. We may not be the one we want, but we will get an answer. And the thing that we have to realize, based upon God's word, and I've said this numerous times from this pulpit, no one, and I emphasize no one, has been able to demonstrate that any promise God made in the Bible has not come true to this point. So we have to ask for the Lord's help, and we'll get that answer and realize that it is the best answer for us. It may not be the answer we want, but it is the best answer for us. Because we are God's children when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is going to take care of His children. You know, doesn't He feed the birds and the fowl and the fishes? And doesn't He clothe the birds in beautiful colors? And Matthew tells us that He is going to take care of us, that Jesus said that. So we have to have faith. And we have faith because we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've got to continue that faith and accept the will that God has for our life. Matthew said, ask and it will be given. Jesus said in Matthew, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And we know that God does not lie. So why do we need to be complaining all the time about the negative things that we observe in our life? Sometimes we deserve the problems we encounter in our life. We brought them on ourselves. But as the old saying is, we made our bed and we must lie in it, whether good or bad. And if we made a bad decision and it's negatively impacted our life, then we don't need to complain. We need to get on our knees and ask God to give us the guidance to remedy the situation, to get back on a positive note in our lives. While most people do not wish to listen to our complaints, we know there is one who has a listening ear and a compassionate heart. And how thankful we should be for our gracious God on whom we can lay our complaints and our burdens. And if you haven't realized all the blessings you have as a child of God, I think about that over the coming week and months ahead. And be more thankful. Be more positive. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and don't know Him personally and know that He can help you overcome this negativity in your life, we invite you to make that acceptance this morning, to come forward and say, yes, I accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been trying to convict me and He has done so, and I want to accept Him as Lord and Savior. We invite you to do that as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 275, I Surrender All.